It must be hot outside if Scott's playing this one. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Actually, at Ryder practice, well, post-practice, it was a closed practice, but down on the field level for their interviews today.
The smoker.
I was like, oh, boy. This is... They were dripping. The Riders coming off the field today. They were... They needed to rehydrate after that practice with
what is it out there? 30?
It's like 34. But down field there. Level's probably closer to 40 on field level at Mosaic Stadium. It is but it's a beautiful day. It's a beautifully hot day.
Not going to complain.
We have a member of the Green Zone team who's going to complain whenever the temperature goes above 25.
That's Scotty Heat. He's
one of the doesn't like heat people. I love heat, and it is a hot one today.
Come hang out at the Green Zone Studios. Freeze your butt off all summer.
It's fine. Let's go!
And now, the starting lineup. Ice Cube in here. I feel great.
Locker and I we're a married couple. Locker and I, we've been, almost a year now. We're like a married couple. This guy won't leave the temperature alone. It turns it up, turns it down. I walk into a room like, it's fine.
You got a weird climate thing in this building where I don't know what it is, but if you step right in front of me, which is like 6 feet in front of me, Jamie's spot, it's like 17 degrees warmer than it is over here. They got this vent up here. I've tried to plug it with toilet paper. They got a vent that blows solid cold air all day. And I'm not one, I would rather have it cooler than warmer.
No,
I'm that
you
guy.
Wouldn't. You're a whiner. That's what it is. You're a whiner.
It is freezing in this room. This is a Dave Letterman studio, and you're a reptile because you don't feel it.
I'm actually warm. I could use the air conditioner right now. But let's get into it, the starting lineup.
It's blowing. Stand underneath of it over here, just underneath the toilet paper.
The Riders getting set for big play, VA.
VA is going to take his time, make all his reads, and he'll even, stare down the gun barrel to get a big play up and take a hit. So for us, we know that's what he is, and obviously he's even more alive when he gets out the pocket.
Yes, Vernon Adams Jr. has led the Stamps to a 3-1 start to the season after the trade that sent him to Calgary this offseason, over 1,000 yards passing in his first four games this year. And I think a big credit to the Stampeders' quick turnaround is the fact that Dave Dickinson has a quarterback to help this team get turned around with Vernon Adams Jr. Just the way he plays. He's a lot more mobile than Jake Mayer was last year. So I think he is helping this team. I know he's only thrown two touchdown passes.
He doesn't throw the ball much. Or he's not getting the ball into the end zone that much.
Yeah, he's only thrown two touchdown passes, but they're running the ball very well.
Yeah.
Their defense is playing okay, too. So big play VA coming to Regina, Mosaic Stadium, Friday night.
On paper, we have the better run game than Saskatchewan or than the Stamps do, right?
It's 1-2. They're the best two running teams in the league going head-to-head on Friday.
All right, we'll move over to baseball MLB. The Jays continue to roll 10 straight after last night's game.
Whoa, boy, the 3-2 hit to deep left field and well gone. And Davis Schneider continues to make his presence felt.
I was watching last night. I think it was the seventh inning when the rain started, and then they called it, and they didn't actually get to restart, so they gave it to the Jays 6-1 over the White Sox. We're going to get an updated score here because they're playing.
There was delayed earlier today, too.
Were they?
For the matinee game for the Jays.
Wagner's on.
It's the getaway day with the Jays and the Chicago White Sox.
We got seventh inning, and the Jays are at bat. They're down to the Chicago White Sox 2-1 if they win today. Obviously, that would be 11 straight. Toronto right now, they're 54-38, which is a franchise record for wins prior to the All-Star break, which is really good news. And a lot of people jumping on. We talked about that with JB earlier today, Jamie, that a lot of fans are jumping on the bandwagon here. Doesn't take much. Jays are on a bit of a roll. They're number one in the AL East ahead of the Yankees as well. So fun to watch.
We'll keep you up to date as the White Sox again leading Toronto in the final of a three-game set. Walker, your Oilers made a trade yesterday as they bring in the Hobey Baker Award winner. That's the NCAA Player of the Year.
15 to go. Here's Howard. One timer. He hit the post and it went in. Isaac Howard.
Careful. Careful. He told the media today. He goes by Ike. Thank you very much. Ike Howard is now a member of the Edmonton Oilers, traded last night for Sam O'Reilly. O'Reilly was the 32nd overall pick in the 2024 draft. Of course, he was a two-time Memorial Cup champion with London. He's going to Tampa Bay. And Ike Howard, Hobey Baker winner, he was 31st overall pick in the 2022 draft. Some already projecting that he'll be on the top line with Connor McDavid and Zach Hyman. That from Bob Stauffer of the Edmonton Oilers.
I saw that. What is that?
Because the Draisaitl and McDavid need wingers. So they went and got a winger. Sam O'Reilly's a center. So they went out and got a high-scoring winner from college. 21 years old. He was refusing to sign a deal with Tampa. So right when the trade happened, he's already signed his entry-level contract with the Edmonton Oilers. So much for state tax as he will go to Edmonton to play with Connor McDavid for a year.
It's interesting. He's a bit small. They do still need to find someone that is going to keep up with McDavid. I think that's been an issue, right?
Nobody can keep up with him. It's just a matter of can you finish when he passes you the puck?
Yeah.
Leon can.
I just think it's ridiculous that we're already putting this kid on the first line, but whatever.
He's 21, turning 22, so it's not like he's a young 18-year-old out of junior hockey.
No, I get it.
He's been in university the last couple of years.
I get it, and you're not putting Mangiapane up with him, with McDavid, so anyway, we'll move on.
Please no.
Tennis, Djokovic is off to the semis.
And there it is, the killer touch from Djokovic. Djokovic once more. Beaten in one set, but unbowed in the match.
Flavio Cavoli, he takes him down in four sets, and he had a nice game. He hung in there. Djokovic is one of those guys, right? Like, he got beaten the first set, and then he just hangs around. And he's a little bit older now, and maybe his game isn't where it used to be, but you got to put him away. When you get a chance, you got to put him away. So Djokovic will play the number one Jannik Sinner in the semifinal on Friday. And then Carlos Alcaraz will take on Taylor Fritz in the other semi. Djokovic survived a late fall at the end of that match as well. And it was kind of cool because Cavoli walked over and gave him his tennis racket back. So it was a nice little moment there. I guess he's a big fan of Djokovic's. It was like his idol growing up, right? So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Djokovic can get to. He's going for some record. Well, I mean, how many
he's records? Trying to tie Roger Federer's record for most Wimbledon titles. That's 8-7 right now. And he's tied with Margaret Court at 24 individual Grand Slam championships.
Yeah.
And of course, Margaret is like 82 years old. Her reign was like in the 50s.
She's going to make a comeback to try to hang in there?
No. And Alcaraz, though, is the young phenom who's trying to win his third straight Wimbledon.
He's fun to watch.
Carlos Alcaraz?
He's intense.
Yes.
That kid can play.
Now, well, we're going to talk a little racing because there was actually a monster story in F1 racing this morning.
Red Bull Racing have had no other team principal than Christian Horner their entire existence. And he's gone.
Yes, Christian Horner fired as CEO and team principal of Red Bull Racing. 20 years ago, he was hired. They've won multiple constructors' titles, multiple drivers' titles. Max Verstappen the last four, but this year they've sucked. So Max Verstappen not happy, fears he might leave. So Christian Horner is out at Red Bull Racing as the team principal. Jamie and Locker with you here on The Green Zone. Coming up next, we talked about the golf fight. Nick Tarnaski, the former NHLer.
He was a Ranger, right?
He was a Ranger, Lightning, a few different teams.
Moved around, yeah.
Should he be coaching kids? Red Deer Minor Hockey Association is doing an investigation as apparently he's the head coach of their AAA team. That story next on 980 CJME and 650 wow. CKOM.
Let's get the ready to rumble. Feel the fires into the rear. It's nice and only know how to win.
Jamie Locker with the ear in the green zone. Welcome to all those around Saskatchewan and outside Saskatchewan coming in. Of course, Country Thunder, a weekend as the campers getting set up, ready for what looks like a pretty decent weather week, fingers crossed weather week, out in Craven for Country Thunder this year. Well, yesterday on the Green Zone, we talked about a little bit of a Donnybrook at a golf course near Red Deer.
I got it all on record.
On record.
I wouldn't keep going back, you f***ing moron.
Hey! Bang! Come on, man.
Bang!
I'm not trying to get in there.
Enough! Nick Tarnaski, a former NHLer, was golfing with a couple of buddies.
Heavyweight.
Oh, yeah, he's a big guy. And they ran. There's a longer video now, and they finally catch up to a group of two guys who you can tell in the video are hammered.
They're piled.
They have had more than enough liquids for the day. And the back and forth is the group with Nick Tarnaski saying, can you guys move it along? One of them says, we've been waiting here for 23 minutes.
Well, they were trying to talk him into playing through. Right? Let's play through.
You're too drunk to even put the ball in the ground. And you can see their golf clubs are on the tee box. And one guy tries to tee up and he almost falls over. It's like, can you guys just move along? We've been waiting for 20 minutes. And then it
was a little more aggressive.
It
was a little more aggressive than that. Like, they were at their wits' end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a slow afternoon with a couple of drunks in front of you, and it's like, enough's enough. Let us play through. You jackwagons, get out of here so we can actually play our round. This is his hometown. He's from Red Deer, so he's probably a member at the course or something. So they start. Then the drunk guy starts getting a little mouthy.
Yeah.
And starts getting a little aggressive. And you can hear a couple of guys like, you're not a tough guy. The video that went viral yesterday was Nick Tarnaski when the guy charges at him from the tee box. Nick Tarnaski grabs him,
throws him into a pond.
Yeah. The guy gets up, comes at him again. That's when Nick starts throwing two punches. The guy gets up, comes at him again. Nick Tarnaski grabs him, like you do in a hockey fight, grabs him right in the chest by the shirt.
Right around the collarbone.
And when you hear him going bang, 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 that's Jeez. Nick Tarnaski hitting him three more times. Then the guy gets up again, comes at Nick again.
With golf clubs.
And Nick throws him, and then the longer video that came out, the guy actually goes to his cart and grabs a club, and Nick's like, what, you want to use weapons now? Are you kidding me? Like, enough, get out. Like, they keep on telling these two, get out of here. Like, enough. RCMP are now investigating, as is the Red Deer Hockey Association, as Nick Tarnaski is the head coach of their U-17 AAA hockey team. We'll see what comes of the police investigation.
What do you think?
Red Deer Minor Hockey says we're aware of the video circulating at this time, given that we understand the matter is being reviewed by local policing authorities. We are conducting our own internal investigation into the alleged incidents. We'll have no further comment.
So my prediction is that there'll be no charges, mm-hmm. right? Because they're going to sit that kid down and go, you're an idiot. Like, you're lucky he didn't, like, knock your head off. But I have a feeling that, I don't want to say it.
He'll
get a suspension or something.
Suspension from the league for it?
Yeah. It's just a bad look. And you know what it is? It's not so much.
I don't condone violence very often.
No, I know.
But there's sometimes where a guy deserves to get sent a message, and the drunk, you know what, standing on the tee box coming at the former NHLer who's double his size. I'm sorry. Some guys deserve to get tuned in. And that's a little guy who got a little too mouthy and a little too drunk who got taught a very important lesson.
Unfortunately, just based on my knowledge of how these things have gone in the past, I doubt that guy is going to learn anything from this. Because I don't think he doesn't have the smarts to stop himself from the initial, you think he has the smarts to learn something from that that altercation?
You might be.
The Jays are three outs away from having their win streak snapped. It's going to the bottom of the eighth. They're down 2-1 to the Chicago White Sox. They'll need a ninth inning rally in the top half to keep the win streak alive. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. And a little matinee to wrap up a three-game set against the Chicago White Sox. But in baseball, I don't know, you can lose like once in a while. It's been a good story on a 10-game winning streak for the Toronto Blue Jays.
I will say this. It's not out of character for the Blue Jays to have a comeback win. They've been doing it a lot this year. So I'm not – don't quit on the Jays yet.
But joining us right now, it is Britton Gray.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
Our Green Zone Rider reporter, Britton Gray, is here. Let's start off with a breaking CFL news as defensive lineman Kamoko Touré has been suspended by the Canadian Football League for inciting the brawl that broke out between the BC Lions and the Montreal Alouettes.
Do we know what it was about yet? Depends who you ask.
BC will say it was a misunderstanding. Montreal will say he was trying to get into their locker room and beacon at him, and so he's been suspended one game. I think you had to. Just when you see a BC Lion in the entrance of the opponent's room after a game, and then a brawl breaks out, it was more than just a misunderstanding, Britton.
Yeah, there had to be some sort of suspension. Wasn't sure what we would get. Obviously, the investigation had to go on. If both teams had someone getting suspended, just one person, something had to happen because you can't have these brawls happen. It looks bad for the league. I know that some people have maybe been saying, oh, any news is good news for the CFL. People are going to see the footage of the brawl and be like, what's going on there? No, brawls aren't good. It just doesn't look good for the league.
Yeah, it was like the brawl that happened.
I disagree.
Locker's one of them.
I'm sorry. I'm okay. It's sports. Temper. It's just part of it. It doesn't turn me off at all from the only time I ever get turned off from a brawl is basketball. NBA.
And who was the hockey player? The Washington Capital. I can't remember. He Tom started slapping.
Oh, Ovechkin.
No, it wasn't Ovechkin.
Ovechkin
it was like Svechnikov
or
something like that.
Who was the slapper?
But anyways, Tomoko Touré is suspended. Ademi Berglund was also involved. He got a fine from the Canadian Football League. So there are suspensions and fines from a brawl in BC.
You would think,
in
though,
Montreal, sorry.
In football, you'd get it out on the field, right? Like, you're just killing each other. You'd think.
I wonder when they.
Like I said, it depends what was said. We don't know what was said. Like, one side says, oh, you just wanted to talk to a buddy over there. Other one said, obviously, coming in and chirping it. Who knows? But yeah, you would think with the amount of hitting you do in football, you'd have got a little bit out of it at least.
August 16th, the Alouettes visit the BC Lions. Circle that one on the calendar.
There you go.
For a CFL.
See, we're talking about their next game on the schedule. This is not a bad thing. I mean, I get it.
It's not a great thing. But it's not like you're going to tell guys, hey, a little more brawls, please, boys. Like, can you muck it up? Like, no, you're not going to promote
teams
fighting.
No, I'm not suggesting you do that. But I'm saying, for me, when I see it, I'm like, it piques my interest. I am not turning football. Oh, those guys.
You don't
I
want
wish they would fight.
You don't want an octagon in every end zone.
Why can't everyone just get along?
No,
it's football. They're out there to
we just
destroy
need
each other.
We need just need octagons in the Rose Garden. But anyways, let's get to the Riders story in week 6 in the Canadian Football League. The Riders taking on the Calgary Stampeders. It was a closed practice today, so we'll see what the injury report reads
But Britton probably a little bit clearer information on a few riders' availability today from the way head coach Corey Mace described Sam Emelis and Tavon Campbell.
Yeah, when Corey Mace says it's going to be tough for a guy to go, that usually means he's going to be out. That's the case with Tavon Campbell. He said Sam Emelis was out there again, still haven't made a decision on him, but boy, like, they've used limited for him all week. I think that's a stretch to say Sam Emelis has been limited. He's been working along the sidelines for most of it. But hey, this team, despite all the injuries, we discussed it on the Blitz podcast, they have depth everywhere, and everyone has stepped up when they've needed to. And you haven't noticed, no matter who's come in, even Daniel Johnson, who started one or two games maybe last season, has come in and settled in and has stepped up to the plate for this team.
Let's start doing a little bit of comparison stuff. You got Trevor Harris versus Vernon Adams Jr. Who's got the edge this week in quarterback?
Oh, that's tough. Trevor Harris, he said he was dealing with that virus for about 4 weeks. This might be the healthiest Trevor Harris has been. He said about 4 weeks, he kind of hasn't been feeling good. So this might be the healthiest of Trevor Harris. But Vernon Adams Jr., they call him Big Play VA for a reason. He has that extra dynamic ability that really, that he can just at any time do it, but he also commits more mistakes because of that. So I'm going to lean Riders, but VA is one of those guys who can just take over a game.
How important has VA been? Like, we played the clip earlier of Micah Johnson, 2-3-1 Stampeders team, because it's not like his touchdown, he's not throwing touchdowns like Bo Levi Mitchell is with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. He's only gotten 2 touchdown passes this year. But how important do you think Vernon Adams Jr. has been to Calgary's revitalized 3-1 record?
I think very important. I think he's really matured into a leader while still being able to keep that kind of energy going, being that spark plug. I mean, we saw it when were the Lions against Saskatchewan. I think where Vernon Adams Jr. was firing the team up despite the fact that Nathan Rourke was the starting quarterback. VA is a leader. He's really emerged as one, and that's really helped this Calgary team refine its kind of, I don't know, identity, but they've refound some faith in themselves because they have that veteran quarterback back there, a guy who was on an MLP pace last season with the BC Lions. He's meant the world to that team right now as they've really gone through a transition year.
So the Riders have a better pass defense. How much impact does Tavon Campbell's injury impact that this Friday against the Stamps?
We'll see. Antoine Brooks Jr. looks like he's going to be up there, right? And he was so good throughout training camp. In that game he played, limited snaps, comes up with an interception. He just feels like that another guy who's just going to step in, and you're not really going to notice too much of a difference between him and Tavon Campbell. I think he's solid. He's a veteran of football. He hasn't played a lot of CFL games, but he was the NFL for years. He's a very good defensive back. Excited to see what he can do if he's given a full game to really show off his skills.
I know you talked to him for the profile on the Green Zone pregame show coming up on Friday. Of course, so we kick off that show at 5 o'clock, but give us a little sneak peek on what you found out from Antoine Brooks Jr., who Corey Mace has talked so highly of on his character and his personality and what he's like as a teammate.
He's grateful to be playing football. He was a quarterback in high school and actually suffered a serious injury. He broke his ankle and his wrist on the same play. He thought he was done. He asked his mom, actually. He said, "Am I done playing football?" And she said, "No, you can still go." And he's like, "Well, then, if she thinks I'm ready to go, I should be able to go, because moms are usually the first one to say, no more." So yeah, if she says to still go, still keep with it. And just Corey Mace talked about the journey he's had on and off the field, some other injuries, being in the NFL, kind of having to wait his time. He great story and just very personable. Like, you talk about a people person, a guy who just likes talking. I think he said, I believe it's from his dad, his dad just likes getting to know people. One of those guys, he meets you in a room, automatically starts talking to you, wants to get to know you. He's exactly like that. And just like Corey Mace, easy guy you can cheer for.
It'll be interesting to see how the running game plays out for both sides. Stamps have a decent running game. The Riders, on paper, again, probably get the edge on Friday over the Calgary Stampeders. And it'll be interesting to see how they incorporate Kadeem Carey. Right? Based on the success they had with Jake and AJ running the ball as much as they did in the last game in the 4-0 win for the Rough Riders, it'll be fun to watch on Friday.
Yeah, the Calgary defense hasn't given up a lot of points, but they are susceptible on the ground for giving up a bunch of yards. They have given up 111.3 yards, I think it is. That's the third worst in the CFL. Teams can run on the Calgary defense. They just don't give up a lot of touchdowns. I'm excited to see what this rushing attack can do with the fact that you do have Trevor Harris back there now. We know how good he can be if he just has just only needs 2 seconds really to make a read. Just that running attack and having the ability to keep that defense a little honest with it, I think that just helps this Riders offense so much more.
And of course, Britton and I this morning recorded the Blitz podcast. You can check it out on YouTube or wherever you find your podcasts as we get you set for week 6 in the Canadian Football League.
The Blitz podcast, the fastest growing CFL podcast in Canada, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out on YouTube. Better on Spotify, though.
I don't know. I think Britton and I were looking pretty good today, to be quite honest. But the other games this week, Ottawa at Hamilton, BC at Edmonton. Any upsets this week? What do you think? Hamilton, I think, will handle their business against Ottawa, one of the hottest teams.
Mm-hmm.
BC Edmonton.
I have BC winning that just because I still trust them a little bit more than the Elks right now.
Interesting. Who'd you pick?
I picked Edmonton.
You picked Edmonton?
For the third straight week, I'm going with the Elks. I'm 1-1, hoping they give me a winning record with a win over the BC Lions at home at Commonwealth.
We should plug the Twitter poll, too.
The Twitter poll?
About Tommy.
Oh, Tommy Stevens is coming up on the program. What would you vote? Touchdown Tommy or Tommy Tsunami?
Tsunami. Or other.
Other. I think we can do better. I haven't put that much thought into what his nickname should be.
Okay, so I put in there, I said other comment below. And the ones below are awful. You guys should be embarrassed.
Like, Tommy Tsunami, that's what we're leading
with.
Go
look at the other suggestions.
I wish you luck in pitching that to him, Locker.
So you are on my side.
Hey, if you can somehow convince
him. Can you pitch it at the end so if he hangs up on us, we get a good interview out of it, though?
I'm okay with it. Whatever you want to do. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. But Tommy Stevens, you've talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
He should be a fan favorite. This guy, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. He'll be
like
fine
cool,
with the nickname
seems
conversation.
Like a cool dude.
Absolutely. And so dynamic. And I think Rider fans really appreciate the fact that it can be 3rd and 1 or 2nd and 2. And you're not nervous watching that short yardage situation anymore because for a couple of seasons, there was a lot of disarray out there.
I'm excited when he comes on. I'm like, is he going to just pop off for another 50-yard touchdown run here?
Oh,
like,
my God.
Short yardage is interesting.
Watching
not
that
on
game
the negative,
watching
on the positive.
Watching that game on Sunday with Cody Fajardo stepping in there for short yardage plays. I'm like, ooh, we are so lucky here in Saskatchewan. Very lucky.
We're going to talk about Cody Fajardo coming in for Trey Ford with Dave Naylor as well here on the Green Zone. Britton Gray, of course, has you covered. CJME.com, CKOM.com, at Green Zone SK. And, of course, again, the Blitz podcast is up now on YouTube, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. Check out the Blitz as we get you set for week 6. Coming up next here on the Green Zone. May be the most controversial conclusion in All-Star Game history, and it happened on this day in 2002. We'll remember it next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Open. Chicago with the lead.
It is Joe Sakic. Scores.
On this day in sports history, this might be the most controversial ending in All-Star history. MLB All-Star Game 2002, July the 9th, Miller Park in Milwaukee. It ends in a tie.
Garcia with a 2-2 pitch to Santiago. Game over. And this game will end in a 7-7 tie.
Oh, Bud Selig heard about that as the commissioner of Major League Baseball. The reason was they used all the pitchers. And as people said, just, have a second baseman throw a pitch. Let's figure it out. Let's go to extras. and have a winner at an all-star game.
Yeah. Why are, They've changed the rules since, have they not?
Well, Bud Selig was ridiculed on the 7-7 tie, Milwaukee. I totally forgot about that. When they're, it was a huge thing during the game. He was on the phone. People were talking to him. What do we do? Then they announced it would end in a tie, and he got booed out of the building. And I believe he's from Milwaukee, too. I think
you got to make
Selig
a call in the moment there.
Yeah.
Right? You're the commissioner.
Home run contest right at the end of the game.
Anything. Bettman would never have let that happen.
No. No. Bettman would come up with a sound, solid solution to appease the fans, as he always has in Hawks.